You're listening to Inside Real Estate with Jessica Beggins. Each week, tune in to hear a new topic about real estate. Whether you're looking to buy or sell your own home, or maybe you're looking to get into the industry, either way, I hope you use this as your go-to resource for all of your real estate needs. Hey guys, Jessica Beggins here with Century 21. Thanks for tuning in this week. I have a special guest on the podcast. His name is Michael Holzum, and he works as a loan officer with Loan Depot. So he is the first point of contact for all of my home buyers. And so I wanted to bring him on today to specifically talk about buying a home versus renting a home, what you can get for the monthly payment, and a breakdown of what the costs are going to be. So I'll let Michael say hello. Hello, Michael.
Hi, guys. Jess, thanks so much for giving me the opportunity to join your podcast. I have the luxury of being able to make a phone call and pick your brain about the industry and the market pretty much any day of the week. However, you know, tune into all of your episodes of your podcast, and maybe a biased big fan, but a big fan nonetheless. And I'm honored for the invite onto this episode, Rent versus Buy.
Yes. Thanks, Michael. I appreciate that. Of course. So I liked you for this episode because we are in the same age range. You have owned a home before in a different state and sold. So you're currently renting now. So you're right in the middle of what's going on with that environment.
That's right.
And I think the audience and the people who we're speaking to right now are also our age. So I like that we can relate to those out there. So Absolutely. Let's jump off this episode with we're 27. Most people our age are still renting right now. So what does that mean here in Tampa, Florida? I think average rental rates in Tampa are around $1,700 a month. So what does that mean for people? What can we get for $1,700 a month here in Tampa?
Right. And, $1,700, not only what seems to be a national average, but that's a very sound number for us here in the Tampa Bay region. From my experience and from some contacts and resources I have that are currently renting in our region and in our market, I think that's fair. I think it could equate to, I have a very good friend who's got a 1-1 in downtown, not even channel side, just downtown. And they're at about $1,650, $1,700 a month for a 1-1. Great location, absolutely. But that rent payment of $1,700 a month, and that's in line with, I think, what you've seen market-wise, average. What else in your mind can we get for possibly $1,700 a month?
I'm thinking if you're in the Tampa area, if we go south of Gandy and we're closer to MacDill Air Force Base, you can probably find a 2-bedroom, 1-bathroom, single family home. It probably doesn't have many updates to it. It's probably very basic. This is where you're going to live. There's nothing like fancy to it. That's what I think you can expect if you're not in an apartment. So you either have a 1-bedroom apartment in downtown Tampa that's probably 700 square feet, or you can go to maybe 1,100 square feet, single family home that's maybe a 2-bedroom, 1-bathroom home. I think that's what we're looking at.
And, you know, the structure of those rental payments, it's paid in a lump sum, just like a mortgage payment would be. But you have some nickel and diming going on, certain amenities and services within at least the apartment complexes, from what I understand, that are almost non-negotiable. So
live in an apartment for 2 years, and they were non-negotiable. Like you said, right. Cable. Valet trash,
sometimes a parking spot,
pet rent. When we got a dog, we had to pay an extra amount to have a dog. That was so silly.
Shout out to Clay.
Shout out. So those are just some costs that probably add up to over $100 a month that you're paying. So those are unrecoverable costs of renting, not to mention the actual rent payment that you're paying is an unrecoverable cost. And so I don't want to make this podcast about bashing renting, because I think renting is a great option for flexibility, and some people don't have another option. Like, it's, and that's okay. So I don't want to make this like renting sucks, buying is the only option. I want to make that very clear. We're not bashing renting at all. I would just like to, for those of us who are in a situation where you're currently renting and you're thinking about buying a home, but you're like, you think it just sounds absolutely impossible. We kind of wanted to break it down to what it actually means for you financially to purchase a home, because it's actually an investment. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't see it that way. Some people just see it as a giant money pit. And I don't know that that's the best way to look at it. So anyways, I'm backtracking, but I wanted to explain a little bit more about this. So we're not bashing renting. We're just making very clear what goes into the payments.
Trying to be transparent on that barrier to enter almost. So, you know, I know that from your experience, but from mine as well, first time home buyer, it's really a fear of initiating the conversation more than anything. Mm-hmm. They know they're comfortable paying $1,700 a month in rent, but I don't understand necessarily what goes into a mortgage payment or the home buying process, or if I can actually do this. So we're just trying to break down some of those barriers and those walls and educating on the structure of a mortgage payment and kind of creating apple to apple scenarios so that, okay, this is what I can do renting. If I'm, you know, tired of renting, let's look at what I can possibly get into house-wise for the same monthly payment.
Exactly. Thank you. Yes. So we've kind of gone over, you know, average rental payments, whether you're in an apartment or possibly a single family home, is about $1,700 a month. So if we look at what's available, a lot of questions are, what purchase price of a house can I get for a $1,700 a month payment? Because as renters, that's what we know is what we're paying monthly. So a lot of times that's one of the biggest questions. What can I get for that? So I think it's fair to say that we would probably be in the range of around a $300,000 house. Is that right?
That is right. You know, averages, they're always flawed, but for this purpose, I think it's our only option to work in. And, you know, the margin of error on that $1,700 average, you can get into a $300,000 house for less. You know, you throw an HOA or a flood zone in there, it could be a little bit more. But I think a $300,000 purchase price is a very safe number for apples to apples rent payment to monthly mortgage payment. And, you know, a lot of that is driven by where low interest rates are today. So, you know, we're looking, if for the purpose of this exercise, we're using nice round numbers. So a rate of 3%, you know, very likely you could qualify for underneath that. I think that's a nice average for right now, however. And, you know, you look back 10 years ago, and your mortgage payment, because rates were higher, is $170, $200 more, just because principal and interest was a larger amount of your mortgage payment compared to where we are rate-wise today. Mm-hmm. Even up to $600 more 20 years ago. And if you want to go back to the 90s, you're looking at over $1,000 more. So long story short on that is rates are driving the principal and interest portion of your mortgage payment down quite a bit. Which allows to in turn purchase more home for the same price.
Yes, exactly. Which is huge for us right now. For us, those of us purchasing right now, knowing that you can purchase more house now than you could a year ago, even, let alone
20 years ago, right.
It's awesome. So it's just a great time to put your money into an investment right now. So if we're looking for $300,000 homes, and the common question is, well, what does that get me? I did some research, and I'd say probably two of our most popular areas where first-time homebuyers are purchasing right now in the Tampa Bay area would be Riverview, Florida, and a $300,000 house just sold in the last 10 days, and it was about 2,600 square feet, 3 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, 2-car garage, completely updated on the inside, gas. Beautiful. And then in Seminole Heights, a $300,000 house just sold, and it was about 1,300 to 1,400 square feet. It was a 2-2, and it had all the charm that Seminole Heights has to offer. I mean, a gorgeous bungalow, front porch. It had a one-car garage in the backyard.
Wow.
Yeah. Quartz countertops, completely, you know, redone on the inside with the restored hardwood floors and everything. So, I mean, absolutely gorgeous. So for you to be able to purchase something like that with these low interest rates right now and be paying the same thing you're paying in rent, if not less, it's like, I want to get these questions out. Like, why not? Why aren't we doing this right now?
Right. What is the barrier to enter? What's the reason I'm re-signing a lease, or Billy's re-signing a lease over it? Mm-hmm. Is it lack of knowledge of the process, right, to getting it going? A fear of what hidden costs may be there from a mortgage payment perspective?
And I want to break down the hidden costs point, because I think when you work with professionals during your entire purchasing process, there is full transparency. There are no hidden costs. It's not like, well, no one told me about this $100 a month that, you know, that's not how it works. When you work with people that do this every single day in their career, they break it down very matter of fact for you. And I think that's one of the things, one of our next topics is, what is the barrier to entry? What are the costs associated with purchasing a house up front that you don't have when renting? That I think a lot of that leads people to rent. Well, you know, I only have to put down, you know, 1 month's rent, and that's the security deposit. And then I just jump right in and I have no liability. If something breaks, I call the landlord, kind of thing. Where when you're buying a house, there's a down payment and closing costs and inspections and appraisals. And then everybody just goes, and they halt the brakes and they don't go any further. So I would like to kind of break those down. So we kind of touched on low interest rates, but there are so I was watching some videos on renting versus buying to research this topic. And almost every single video that I watched put it in terms of putting 20% down, every single one of them. And that is not the case today. And I think to really see the difference between renting and buying and money associated with both, we need to be realistic. So Michael, can you tell us a little bit about different down payment options and what that really means for buyers?
Certainly. Everyone fancies the conventional loan. So that's a very good credit score, low debt to income ratio, but also allows us to put down as a first time home buyer as little as 3%. So sticking with our scenario of a $300,000 purchase price, you know, 3% of that's going to be $9,000, which I'm not here to tell you that's not a big sum of money. But
it is, right. But
compared to, you know, the scenarios you see of, oh, you must 20% down to obtain a rate in the under 3 or at 3, I'm here to tell you today that that is not the case, and that as little as 3% down conventionally, you're in the market for a rate at or below 3. The big piece that folks look at with a 20% down versus the minimum percent down is the mortgage insurance, which the $1,700 payment that we were discussing earlier at that price point, I actually had mortgage insurance included in that. So that was the scenario of putting the minimum 3% down, and you know, you're looking at anywhere from $80 to $120 a month in mortgage insurance, but it allows you the flexibility to obtain such a good interest rate with very little money relatively out of pocket. So, you know, the old adage of you have to have 20% down is not true. And the conventional loan is just one of the options as well. You know, FHA loan for a first time home buyer is 3.5%. You know, if you're a repeat home buyer, so you've had home ownership in the last 3 years, you put 5% down conventionally. Definitely an array of options to
ease those that
obstacle.
Yeah, because 20% down, not a lot of people have that much cash, and you don't need that much cash to purchase a home. I do think that you should have some money in your savings account. I mean, you do own a home now, so there are things that could come up with your AC or your plumbing that you don't have a landlord to come fix. So you need a cushion. I'm not saying you don't need any money to purchase, but I don't think that number should be as scary as $40,000 for a down payment or something like that. So I'm glad we covered that. But another, some more, there are more monies that you need to bring to the table, and that one would be closing costs. So your closing costs are in addition to your down payment. And this is something that a lot of buyers, it just kind of slipped their mind, and they're like, wait, I have to bring closing costs too? And it's like, well, yes, you do. So the closing costs are paying for your homeowner's insurance up front, escrowing a couple of months of your taxes, and any other costs associated with the loan. If you're buying down your rate, or, you know, there's all kinds of things we can get into, but there are closing costs and down payment. So taking this into consideration, what would be a good average number that they need in their bank account to purchase as an upfront cost?
You know, for our scenario, you think, you know, very conservatively, just down payment for closing costs and prepaids, it's likely going to be a little bit under that. But, you know, I'd rather, it's a different conversation to have, you know, understating something and saying, oh, no, you actually need more money. So
I think
$15,000 to $18,000 for a total down payment and closing costs bill would get you into our scenario, our home we talked about. And
okay, you know,
an array of places that those monies can come from. So it's not just checking and savings account. You know, a lot of people our age have started a retirement account and have put a lot into that retirement account. You know, most 401ks and IRAs, they don't charge a penalty for money used for a home transaction. So, you know, plenty of buyers aren't aware of, but, you know, can utilize a retirement account for those monies. Checking and savings, obviously. You know, some folks are lucky enough to have access to gifts from family members or close friends to help in the purchase of their home. So, you know, getting creative to come up to that number. There's more streams and more lines potentially than may meet the eye of what's in your checking account today.
Exactly. And having the seller pay for the buyer's portion of the closing costs is also something that we can negotiate. So I would say 15 to 18,000 would be very cushy, but you wouldn't necessarily, if we were able to negotiate those terms, you know, maybe half of that or a little less than half, we could get covered by the sellers.
Right. Absolutely. That's definitely a worst case average scenario right there.
Yes. So all of these terrible videos that I was watching are like, if you put 20% down and it's going to take 20 years to get your money back. And I'm like, no. I've got to make a video on this and set the record straight. Because we could get in for, say, $10,000 to a $300,000 house and be paying $1,700 or less a month. This leads me to talk about the appreciation values of homes. Is you're not just dropping this money anywhere. It's kind of like when buying a house, you're putting your money into a savings account, an untouchable savings account. But then again, it's touchable, and we can get into that later. For purposes of staying in line here, reroute me because I have so many things that I could say right now.
Right, the investment potential of purchasing a home.
Yes, the appreciation and values.
Yeah, and you know, Shiller Price Index just released you know, earlier this week. I know we talked about for the example or the scenario, again, a conservative or a safe appreciation percentage. But you know, our market is growing and appreciating the third best in the country with a year over year, a gain of 6% on average. So, you know, there's going to be 8, 10, 14, 15%.
And those Riverview, Seminole Heights, South Tampa areas that we've been talking on in this podcast are probably in that 7 or 8% range rather than 6.
Yep. So,
it's amazing.
Where the investment of your mortgage payment goes is, you know, not predicated on, but it's almost compounded by the appreciation of your home's value. And I know that you wanted to walk through the exercise of the appreciation of a home over, mm-hmm. Say the average person's in a home for 5 to 7 years. So what would that investment look like after a 5-year period?
Right. So we did the math previously for you guys, so you don't have to listen to me try to calculate numbers. But basically, we wanted to go over what would happen if you purchased today at $300,000 and you go to sell your house in 5 years. What does the appreciation look like? How much have you paid down on your mortgage? And what will you walk out with? So let's say you purchased for $300,000 at a 3% interest rate. And let's say the sellers paid your closing costs and you are only required to bring the down payment. That's awesome. So that's mm-hmm. the minimum that you put down. Let's say you put a 3% down on a conventional loan. That's $9,000 you put down. The sellers paid your closing costs and you've been paying the same monthly payment. If you compare it apples to apples, the same monthly payment that you would if you were renting, mm-hmm. what are we walking away with after 5 years when we go to sell?
So if you make no additional cent, dollar, or monthly payments towards your mortgage after 60 months, which is 5 years, this scenario we were looking at about $265 left on your outstanding principal balance. Mm-hmm. So, you paid $25,000 to $30,000 towards your principal balance, which is if you were to go sell, the idea is, and I'll kick it back to you for the appreciation piece, but that is recoverable investment money.
Yes.
If
I like that because these other videos are the unrecoverable costs, but this is recoverable because you've appreciated your value. Your asset has appreciated over time. So if it appreciated, we're conservative here too, because 6%, we looked at the numbers and we were like, whoa, you could sell your house for way more. So we toned it down to, okay, over the averages, maybe had one good year where it appreciated 8%, but the next year it only appreciated 4%. We took an average and said, if every year your home appreciated 4.5%, in 5 years, your home would be worth $373,000 is what you could sell it for in 5 years. So if you sold it for a price of $373,000 and you owed $265,000 on your mortgage, now I got to get out a calculator. If you sold it for $373,000 and you owed $266,000 on your mortgage, you would walk away with $107,000.
$107,000.
And you only put $9,000 up front. You've now recovered your $9,000 and are walking away with more money that you can now go put into a new investment. You don't get that when you're renting. And that's just a fact. There, you can't argue that. You do not get that when you're renting. I don't know. I'm just saying, guys.
And the other objection oftentimes is, well, yeah, but the first 5 months the first 5 years of mortgage payments, the majority of it's going to principal, or the majority of it's going to interest. And well, in fact, that is correct. It's not like, $10 are going to principal. Clearly over 60 months, you've paid down your note $25,000 to $30,000 in principal balance. So are there any potential recoups on that interest that I'm paying on my mortgage?
So there are, and that's something, thank you for bringing up, is as a homeowner, you get mortgage interest tax deductions on your federal taxes every year. So that's awesome. And another tax deduction that you get from being a homeowner is called homestead exemption. And in the state of Florida, it reduces the taxable value of your home by $50,000. So if your home's worth $300,000, you're only paying taxes on $250,000. So that's awesome. And you don't get those benefits as a renter either. All of the money that you're paying as a renter is just it's going away. Although there is value in paying for a roof over your head.
Correct.
But when you own a home, that money truly is being invested and it's giving you benefits. So now you're paying less in taxes and you're paying towards an investment it's just, gosh, it's so good right now. With, if you could get into a house with only $9,000 and the seller pays your closing costs and you're only paying a 3% interest rate, you can buy more house now than you could before. You can live in something bigger and better than you are renting for the same monthly payment. And you, in 5 years, typically, if we're buying our first house, we're probably on average going to be in the house for about 5 years. And you go to sell it, and you've made money over the years that you can now go put into another investment.
Another investment, whether it's, you know, you ascended in your career and maybe your family grew and now you're mm-hmm. looking bigger and more expensive and quote unquote better home. Well, now you know exactly where your down payment monies are going to come from. Or, you know, you start maybe wait 7 or 8 years and you have the equity in the home as appreciation happened, and maybe I want to explore being a landlord and scoop up investment property in the area. It's, you can leverage some of the equity that, again, equity/investment that you've made, and pull that out to make another investment and further your portfolio. Or, you know, you got equity in the home and you think the stock market's going to boom over the next 6 to 10 years. So you pull some equity out and put it in a money market account.
Mm-hmm. And that's a cash out refi. That's what that's
correct.
Called. Because I did, I wanted to touch on that earlier. That's when I had you reroute me, because that's another benefit of home ownership is now if you've got equity in your home, you can actually pull out cash from your equity that now you can go use that cash. Yes, it does add to the debt and you're refinancing and you're subject to the interest rate at that time, but mm-hmm. you have the ability to do that, which I think is amazing.
Options. As humans, we love options, and mm-hmm. and that's kind of what this trek into home ownership gives you down the line is options and a diversification investment wise. And you know, I know that you're here and I'm here as well to educate and answer any questions or objections or obstacles that you think may or may not be in front of your path to getting to home ownership.
Right. Exactly. So this is in no way to bash renters. We just wanted to open up the eyes of those who are renting to give you options so that you know the benefits of home ownership and what it can truly bring you, and to hopefully break down the idea that the ticket to entry towards home ownership is not as scary or daunting as some may think it is. So there's not a giant 20% down necessary, and there's ways to get the money that is necessary.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I think the big takeaways here were, you know, apples to apples, rent to mortgage payment. I know that when we started going through this, it even for me was like, wow, you can, the difference between my buddy's 1-1 apartment downtown and the potential house that he could afford for apples to apples monthly payment. Of course, we right. went over the transparency, the barrier to enter or the down payment amount. But you know, even for us who, or for me anyways, who is in this industry day after day, it's still, sometimes these exercises are just eye opening of who can I help that doesn't want to be renting and is tired of throwing away, or what they feel like is throwing away their monthly payment. How can I help them get to a point where they can not only just have a roof over their head, but their roof over their head.
Right. Exactly. Oh, I love that. That's why I work with Michael. There you go, everybody. He's genuinely here to help. And that's our whole goal here, is just to help you and give you options. So I hope that this did help you today. And if it did, please share it with somebody who you know that is renting and has had these questions. And if there's something that we didn't cover here today, let us know. Reach out to us and we'll, of course, help you out. We can jump on a Zoom call together and answer your questions. We can meet in person. We can do a phone call, whatever you guys are comfortable with. And that's all we have for you today. I think we kind of covered everything we were hoping to.
Near or far, we appreciate being the opportunity to be a resource. And thanks again, Jessica, for having me on.
Thanks, Mike, for coming.
Podcast, and I may skip this episode just because I don't like to hear myself talk. But
don't say that. This is a good one.
If you haven't subscribed, that you guys hit subscribe. Really good mm-hmm. content being put up by Jessica here, answering questions and breaking down some of those intrinsic fears of entering homeownership.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate it. Thanks, everyone. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time.
All right. Cheers.
I hope you were able to take away some positive topics from today's episode, buying a home versus renting a home, with our special guest speaker, Michael Holzum from loanDepot. Some of the takeaways that I hope you were able to take from today's episode would be that the ticket to home ownership is not as scary as that big 20% down payment. We can get around that today with the different down payment options out there and seller paid closing costs. And there are so many benefits to home ownership, like asset appreciation, mortgage interest, tax deductions, and homestead exemption, that I think people don't keep top of mind. So I wanted to address those today. So thank you for taking the time out of your day to listen. Connect with me on Instagram at C21Jess is my handle, or visit jessicabeggins.com to start shopping for houses today. I'll talk to you next time.